The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
Now, it's a well-known fact that the Irish community features heavily in the police forces of the United States, particularly, of course, in New York. But the Irish are also making their mark down under. Because starting this evening on RTÉ1, that's the one with the pictures, 8:30 to be precise, Garda Down Under is the story of life on the beat for Irish officers working in Western Australia, which, by the way, is the largest police district in the world. So large, in fact, that the island of Ireland would fit in there 30 times over. That's big. Anyway, two of the officers that feature are Kieran Cleary and Michael Henderson. And they join me now from Perth and from the town of Kununurra, respectively. I'll start with you, actually, in Kununurra. Let's hope the phone line's good with you, Michael. Michael, how are you doing? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good, Dave. Thanks.
Good. Listen, tell me something. You left Ireland about what, 7 or 8 or 9 years ago? Why did you leave Ireland?
I left Ireland in September 2006. The main reason I left Ireland is probably I had just had a travel bug and I wanted to see Australia. And when the WA police came over recruiting, I just thought that this was an opportunity that I couldn't turn down.
And the WA is the Western Australia Police. So tell us about Kununurra and what's it like. What kind of a place is it?
Okay, well, it's 3,200 kilometres from Perth City. It's on the border to the Northern Territory. It's a. It's basically well known for its lakes and waterways, and it's a really big tourist town, and yeah, it's can be a quite interesting workplace. Yeah. It's we have work wise we have we deal with a lot of alcohol related field violence and domestic violence, but apart from that the. On the social side of things, it's we've got our waterways and we go water skiing and stuff like that.
All right, so it can be good fun when you're not working, but it can be tough enough when you are working, is basically it, yeah?
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's a hard place to work in as a police officer, but outside of the job, it's actually one of the greatest places you could live and work at, live in.
Okay, well, I want to get back to that in a minute or two. Kieran, how are you doing? Are you all right?
Great, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. You're in a studio, okay? You're near Perth, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, so the Perth, Fremantle City, so it's all one metropolitan region, yeah.
Oh, and you and Michael are thousands of kilometres apart, but you actually know each other, do you?
Yeah, Hendo, Mick, I call him Hendo. When I was went to Temple Moore in 99, and they hadn't enough accommodation in the Garda College for recruits, so a lot of us stayed in the town of Templemore, some mix from Templemore, and always stayed in his parents' house because they had a spare room. So Mick was only a young fella in secondary school at the time, and stayed in his house a couple of times over my training. And as sort of fate had it, then when I went to Cork City to work, Mick was silly enough to join a few years later, and he ended up on my unit as a student guard.
I mean, like, I'm talking to the two of you now, live in Australia, but like, it's not as though you two much, can see each other too much. Like, you're 3,000 kilometres apart. Why did you leave Ireland to go to Australia, Kieran?
Similar to Mick, travel was a sort of motivation for me. I was actually happy enough in the guards. I didn't want to leave one police force and join another. But I looked for a career break from the guards at the time, and I couldn't get it. And I was like heading for 30, and I sort of said, geez, you know, what comes first, your life or your job? And I said I'd take the plunge and pull the pin and see could I get back in maybe after a year's travelling. And when I had to resign, then I was sort of a free agent, and Waypol had started recruiting again. Mm. And I sort of applied in the background. I just put in an application for the job just to see what my options would be, and they offered me a spot. I was travelling for a year. I was in Thailand, New Zealand, and eventually I sort of run out of money, so head over to Perth and take up the job and see how it would go. And still here, nearly 8 years later.
And Waypol being the Western Australia Police. Now, just as a matter of interest on that level, like, it's not as though you were dying to do this kind of thing. It was a bit of an afterthought, was it? You got the gig and says, "Ah, listen, I'll take it."
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you're a nurse or a doctor or whatever, engineer, tradie, you know,
it's easier to transfer, is it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, policing is sort of one of these niche things. So it was so rare to have the opportunity. And you get like a permanent residency as well applying. Like there was a couple of cowboys who came over from the UK, I think, who jacked it in within a few days of getting here and used the visa, you know. But vast majority stayed. And for me, it was just a sort of a backup plan, you know. I mean, I wanted to travel. Like, I ended up in New Zealand randomly. I was going to go to the East Coast, Australia, but I ended up traveling with a couple of mates from Douglas RFC in Cork, and I was loving life in New Zealand, and I was sort of, reluctantly, I came over just to give it a go, and yeah, so I'm still here.
And you were happy in the Gardaí working here in Cork?
yeah, I was happy. I had sergeant's exam done, I suppose, and looking at, you know, staying there, maybe trying to get promoted or maybe moving to plain clothes or something like that. But yeah, travel was the main thing. You know, I had some friends who were younger and they'd lived overseas for a year, and I was sort of jealous of that. And yeah, I regretted I hadn't done it when I was younger. So I said, hey, here we go, let's do it.
Here we go, let's do it. Okay, I presume, obviously, just staying on that point, like, you know, I assume that you were prepared for something an awful lot different to Ireland. And how has it measured up in terms of that difference?
I didn't really know what I was going to face coming over here. I mean, the big thing for Gardaí was, oh, they carry guns over there, you know, what's that going to be like, you know, is it like something like America, you know, policing in New York or LA? But in reality, it's, you know, vast amount of stuff is similar over here. And the fact that we're armed is just another thing, you just get used to it. And, you know, it's not like we're going to violent gun-related incidents every day or anything like that. It's just a fact of life over here that all the police forces in the different states are now armed. So that was one thing. But after that, it's just admin, you know. Someone steals something in Ireland or in Perth, is the same thing. You know, yeah. You can arrest them. It's just the section that you arrest them might be just called a different number or a different act. You know, it's just the same thing.
Well, what about you, Michael, then, in Kununurra? I mean, like, there is one statistic which says something like that the incidence of assault where you are, small and all as it is 68 times the national average.
We do have a... an issue here with regards to alcohol, fuel violence, and as a result of that, there is a lot of assault, and it is pretty much mainly 90% of my work is dealing with domestic disturbances. I wouldn't be surprised at that figure at all, that every night I go out, we deal with some serious assaults, from wound stabbings to arm break, people getting their arms broken and stuff like that.
Michael, like you feature in tonight's program, because I've seen that one, and like, you know, it's a lot to do with historically related stuff, isn't it? Alcohol related issues that stretch back generations.
Yeah, no, it is a very politically motivated topic, and it does go back, stretching back for years now. Frankly, I've been here 3.5 years, and I don't think I've made any difference in regards to policing wise into the issue. But it's something that happens up here. It's, to be honest, I find it's like working. It's like a third world country in a first world country. Way the third world problems as such.
And like the kind of violence that you might have come across when you were working in Cork, I mean, we're talking about a lot of knives and weapons and woundings where you are. Is it very different on that level then? Like, is this something that surprised you?
Yeah, no, definitely. I've been got blown away by the level of the domestic assault that I deal with here, and the violence in regards to that, in regards to weapons being used. And compared to Bishopstown was a breeze, really. It was dealing with drunk UCC students or a few noisy parties and a couple of traffic accidents down on the Winton Road roundabout. In comparison, it didn't really prepare me for what I deal with here.
So, in other words, where you are is very remote. It's like an outback station. It's like a bit like the Wild West. It's completely beautiful, but it's absolutely what? Is it crazy? Would I go that far?
Yeah. It is. It's got the extremes. It is the most beautiful place you'll see in the world. But as a police officer, it's definitely one of the hardest working places you'll ever come across. And yeah, there is that issue here, and it is it's absolute two extremes, from beauty to some of the stuff we see, which is horrific. So.
And what about you then, Ciarán, in terms of like Perth, the actual, like, how different is the crime culture in Perth?
I couldn't give you statistics about, you know, the level of DV, domestic violence assaults, things like that. But yeah, that's what I'm a detective at the moment. So I work in down in Armidale, which is about 30 minutes from the CBD in Perth. And, you know, my files at the moment are, you know, child abuse, domestic violence, stealings, robberies, burglaries, stolen cars, things like that. So get the full gamut. Yeah, we do have feels like, anyway, that we've got more domestic related incidents, but they treat them fairly seriously over here. They got set protocols in place. You know, as soon as you get a report, what you got to do, information you got to record, got to involve sort of social workers, things like that, and certain actions you just got to take. For example, if there's enough evidence to charge somebody with domestic assault, they're kept in custody and brought to court the next morning. We don't give them bail. They don't they just don't get out and let the courts decide on it. And we probably have a lot more powers to deal with it. When I was a guard in Cork, if we went to a domestic incident, we'd be trying to work our way around the legislation even to get into the house sometimes, and working about breaches of the peace and things like that. Whereas here we got powers. If we think there's a domestic incident, we can go into the house if needs be by force. Even if there's not enough for a criminal case, we can actually issue it's called a police order, which separates the parties for 24 hours or 72 hours. So we got a lot more powers to deal with it, but a lot more admin burden too, a lot more information you got to record. So.
And what about what about the training you got here compared to the training you would have had to do over there? Did you find the training here in Templemore good? Watch what you say.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, as far as I know, I think the Gardaí had anyway, definitely one of the longest training programs out there. You know, you did 6 months in the academy, 6 months out as a student Garda, back in for 3 months, then back out for 9 months as a probationer, and then finally 6 weeks before your graduation. So almost a year and almost 2 years nearly of training, whereas NYPD, Waypal here in Perth, they do 6 months and then you're out and about. So yeah, you got a lot more training. We had to know law off by heart. I remember in Templemore, your exams are handwritten, some of them, you know, so you had to know verbatim sections of the Public Order Act, you know, things like that. So yeah, you did get in-depth training.
We're talking about a more progressive police force in some ways over there. Like, I would presume the tools and resources are there, and if they're not there, they're fixed pretty quickly, and you have computers in your cars and all that kind of thing, don't you?
Definitely, they've a lot more information technology over here. Yeah, most of the patrol cars will have an onboard computer of sorts. You can check cars, check people, you know, things like that, previous incidents. Everything is done on computer. Like when I left the guards, if you wanted a piece of uniform, you sent in a report up to the channel, up to HQ and back down. You know, everything here is, your sizes are on computer, and you just order it on computer and it's delivered to your work unit, you know. It's everything is IT, even your training, you do it online, a lot of online stuff with legislation and safety courses, things like that.
Well, you've got a set cons, patch, if you like, in Perth, and it's the busiest district in the city for crime. What about you, Michael, in terms of being so far out and so remote? I mean, is there a danger from, number one, the weather, and number two, animals and wildlife and spiders and snakes and all the rest of it, besides people?
Well, we do cover, actually, has a lot of rivers, nestrines with a lot of saltwater crocs in them. Now and again, we do get some tourists that get stranded on the rivers, and we have to go out and help find them and bring them back. That obviously does then have the risk of, if we are getting close to rivers that are infested really with saltwater crocs, that has that danger. I do actually get nervous if I getting close to any of these rivers, that, you know, I'm always on the lookout just in case.
For crocs on the rivers. That's a bit different than here, all right. Just tell us, how are you living over there, and where do you live, and who are you living with, and do you have friends and family?
I live with my partner, my fiancée, soon to be wife. We have a little 3x1 house, which is provided by the W Police in the town. Mm. Our spare time, we have a boat and we go out in the local lake here, and we like to wakeboard and kneeboard and do all kind of water sports, which is great. It's a great lifestyle. Apart from that, we started up a soccer club in Cunanara recently. There's a couple of Irish guys that live here that I play football with, and that's pretty much it. try to get as much sport in as I can.
Well, listen, you mentioned your fiancé. There's no Gaelic football. Okay, you mentioned your fiancé there, and her name is Sarah, and you're getting married in 3 weeks' time, I see, or thereabouts anyway. And so congratulations. When you do, I presume, are you going to... Like, by the way, she works with you. You're in the squad car together, are you?
Sarah works in the same station as me. We don't work together full time anymore. Just for various reasons, Sarah is doing a different role in the station. I'm still doing general duties. So, but we did work together at first. It was quite interesting at times.
But, and what about living? But, and just in terms of prices and all the rest of it. I mean, would you find there's more bills and more taxes than there would have been over here in Ireland?
Definitely. I think it's cost of living is a lot higher, or is higher than Ireland. Especially where I am, there's pretty much where everything you have, there comes a bit of freight cost due to the distance it has to travel to come to. Groceries and stuff can cost a lot more as well. But saying that, at the same time, though, the salary we receive is probably higher than a lot higher than what I received in Ireland. It does kind of cover the cost.
All right, well, then what about you, Ciarán? I mean, like, you know, I presume it took a bit of getting used to, and I have to talk about the weather. I mean, like, some of the stuff, like, I mean, the high 40s. How do you even breathe in the high 40s, let alone do any work wearing a uniform?
Yeah, you don't... back home, they used to say that the cute guard never got wet, you know, but over here it's a different dynamic. Maybe the cute guard doesn't stay out in the sun. Realistically, you go from air-conditioned office to air-conditioned car, and anything that involves getting out for any length of time, you deal with it quickly and move on, you know. You just have to be desperately unlucky if there's a checkpoint, like, I don't do it anymore, but if you wear a uniform and you were doing a checkpoint or projecting a scene at crime scene or a traffic accident, you're going to have to wear a wide-brimmed hat. You're going, like, every car will have suntan lotion and emergency water, things like that, and it's just something they have to cater for. If there's going to be any sort of prolonged job, you got to have sunshades and different things like that. It's part of the health and safety is the sun. Yeah, definitely it's a big issue.
And how prevalent is the Irish community in the police force in Perth?
I don't know, someone, like, I think the stats are saying there was about 30 guards have come out here, most have stayed, a few have gone back. I've met maybe five or six guys who were born in Ireland, came out here and achieved residency through other means and decided to join the police out here as native Irish. So I couldn't give you exact stats, you know, but I've met maybe five or six, but there's probably more, has to be more, you know.
And when you say a lot of them went back, is that because they just kind of, well, you know, they tried, it didn't work, homesick, whatever it is?
Yeah, you do, like, different. I came out, I was single when I came out, so I wasn't sort of accountable to anyone. Some of the guys that came out here had wives and kids, and, you know, you come out here, it's a big move. You got to maybe sell a house, you got to move everyone over, find a school for the kids. I mean, your wife has been taken away from our network of family or friends, things like that. So you got to really work hard to integrate, and you got to sort of say, right, let's give this a solid year or two, give it a go. And I've had some of the families come over saying that maybe they lost a family relative within a few months and started to get homesick, and maybe the wife went home or the husband went home and suddenly it all sort of collapsed and they just decided to go back. But everyone has different reasons, you know. Some people just didn't like it.
And what about where you are now? You said you were single when you went out. What's your status now, Ciarán?
I'm off the market at the moment.
You're off the market. All right, okay. So
about 4 years.
You've met an Australian girl. Is that what you're telling me next, yeah?
I did, I did. I stumbled across an Aussie. Yeah.
You stumbled across an Aussie out in the bush. All right, this is good, man. By the way, just a standout experience. Like, I presume we're talking here about the fact that you like where you are. Is it a good kind of a springboard to go elsewhere and check out other parts of the world since you like to travel, or are you just stuck in Perth?
Definitely, yeah. But even going from one side of Australia to the other is a big journey. It's 4 or 5 hours. Yeah, I've gone home twice since I've been here, and any time I nearly try and stop off in Asia on the way out, the way back. I've done a fair bit of travel. I've been to Thailand, Cambodia. I went to Nepal. I did the Everest base camp hike there a few years ago, and went to Africa. I did the Mount Kilimanjaro, a few bits and pieces. Okay. Stopped off and. Yeah. You know, you try and make, because it's such an expensive flight to go home, and if a flight to Asia here is very, very cheap in comparison, you know, so you'd be a fool not to. I mean, I sort of think, you know, I didn't see myself being here as long as I am, and I don't know if I'll ever return, but I conscious of the fact that while I'm out here, yeah, I try and make the most of it and try and see as much as I can when I'm here, yeah, for sure.
Very good. Well, listen, Michael, what about you where you are then finally? Because you're in the place, like, which is really, like, you know, out in the wilds, and you can't stay in a station for more than 4 years. So you have to maybe stay another couple or whatever it happens to be. What will you do after that?
Well, actually, at the moment, I'm in a promotion pool, so I'm waiting to get promoted to sergeant, and I'll have to move back to the city in the next few months, I would think. So I'm pretty much, my hands are tied in regards to that, so I have to go back to the city. I've been country policing for nearly 6 years I've been here.
Yeah.
So actually, I love country policing, but yeah, I'm going back to the city, back to Perth City. In the next few months.
All right, well, listen, good luck with your life back in the city, and good luck on the 19th of September when you're getting married as well, and congratulations. And thanks to you, Ciarán, as well. Thanks a million for talking to us on the programme this morning. Yeah?
Cheers, thanks, Dave.
Can I do the typical Paddy?
Go ahead, why not, for crying out loud.
We have to do it, we have to do it. Yeah, I just want to say hello to all the folks back home in Earl County Laois, and grandparents Horace and Jockey, mom down in Cork, and my nieces and nephew Con, Una and Brona. My brother's Micheál, Con, and sister Mairead, they're all listening back home, I think.
Fantastic.
Big fan of the Dave Fanning Show.
Fair play, Dave, I can't be outdone now.
Oh, absolutely.
Either, so
go for it, Michael. Jeepers, why not?
If I can shout out to my parents at home, my sister-in-law, Margaret and Lauren, and my brothers, and to the guys in Bishopstown, your great colleagues back in the day, and to all my friends.
That's very good. Good man, Michael. Thank you very much indeed. And Ciarán as well. And the programme, by the way, is on RT1 on the telly tonight at 8:30, and it's called Garda Down Under.